Hey everybody, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm excited for this daily editorial because I am introducing a new guest to the show. His name is Steve Penny. He's the founder and publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. Now, I have seen some of Steve's research get shared amongst all of you, and that's why I wanted to bring him back on the show, because as I've followed along with some of his research, I'm very impressed with how Steve uses technicals and then also dives into some of the fundamentals of the companies that he shares with his subscribers. Steve, let's start off with some of the action we're seeing in the precious metals today, starting with gold. Gold has, looks like, bounced nicely off of what a lot of people were concerned about, or at least the gold bugs were concerned about last week, a further breakdown, especially below around this 1770 level. Steve, do you think that gold has put in a solid enough bottom or double bottom at that 1770 level right now?
Yeah, great question, Corey. And first, thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm a longtime listener, first-time guest, so really appreciate the opportunity to come speak with you and speak with your audience. But yeah, looking at the gold chart, the level that we've been watching here is 1767, to be really specific. And that was the low on 30 November. And we really did not want to see especially a weekly close below that level. Well, last week we came down, tapped that 1767 level, and then today it's encouraging to see us bouncing off of that support, and that's coming on above average volume, which is encouraging. However, this chart, we're not out of the woods yet from a technical perspective. What we really want to see is price break above this clear downtrend channel that breaks or dates all the way back to August of 2020, and then we want to reclaim the 200-day moving average followed by $1,878. $1,878 was the previous swing high. And once we get back above there, that will break that series of lower highs dating back to August. So that would be the first sign I'm looking for of a confirmed technical reversal. So today's encouraging, but we're not quite out of the woods yet.
Exactly. There's still a fair bit of work to do on the upside. And fact of the matter is, look, this has been a pretty defined downtrend, right? We can look at some of the spikes in price and some of the drops, but that low does seem to be right around that 17, as you said, 67 level. But there is still that work to do on the upside. Are you looking for an aggressive move higher, or do you think this, because it's been such a long downtrend, over 7 months now, do you think it's going to take some time to regain these higher 1800 levels?
Well, I guess that depends on one's perspective. You know, a lot of people want the metals to just go to the moon tomorrow. And really what's healthier is just a more sustained uptrend. And there's no denying that there has been some technical damage inflicted on the chart. And more often than not, it takes a little bit of time to digest, to form a new base before we just shoot straight higher. So what I would look for is just more consolidation and start to turn around. But I'm not necessarily looking for like new highs in the next month or two. I think it would be healthy to build a new base, start seeing some higher lows and higher highs before we take out that 2089 big resistance that was back in August of 2020.
Okay, so still some work to do then for gold, and fair enough, it probably should take some time because of how long this correction has lasted, and as long as we start to get some sort of an uptrend, then hopefully we can draw some other investors into the sector. Let's also look at silver, because in your report, you do cover silver, gold, and uranium very closely, as well as a number of other commodity sectors. But when it comes to silver, very different chart. You look at the daily chart, and quite frankly, silver has been trading in a range, but not in that downtrend like gold has been. What's key to note and watch on the silver chart?
Yeah, the silver chart certainly looks much more healthy from a technical perspective than gold. And what we see is silver is actually in an uptrend. Price is above a rising 50 and 200-day moving average. Those are the key moving averages that a lot of the institutional trading algorithms look at. So whenever price is above those two moving averages, you know, that's bullish, and a lot of people would just consider that an uptrend. So silver looks healthy here, and the key levels to watch are $29.92. That was the high printed back in August of 2020, and then followed by $30.35. That was the high printed back in the beginning of February on the silver squeeze. So once we get above that 30-35 level, I think we could really be off to the races in silver. And, you know, not to sound sensational, but I think it's very realistic and within the realm of possibility that we see new highs in silver this year, just like we did in gold last year.
Okay, I was going to ask you then, in terms of higher levels that you could see, there's arguably a fair bit of air on or on top of this chart if we can, or if silver can break above about that $30 level. Where are some of the stopping points then in terms of next resistance levels when, or let's say if, silver takes out that 30 and change?
Exactly, yeah. So there is some congestion between, call it $30 and $33 on the chart, and maybe even up to $35. But once you get through that $35 level, there's really a lot of air between $35 and that previous all-time high of $49.82. And, you know, it's just in the, it's very characteristic of silver to move very fast. You know, it does nothing for a long time and then boom, it moves really fast. So I'm looking for a move like that later in this year.
Let's drive down to the stocks, because you cover the stocks very closely, or at least some stocks that you like in your report. But from a broad perspective here, clearly the silver miners have outperformed the gold miners. Gold miners, actually, after coming out with some pretty good earnings reports recently, they continue to, I guess, lag the overall, well, silver miners especially. Do you still see silver miners being able to outperform gold miners?
I do, especially over the intermediate to longer term. So I have a chart that I look at every single day, and it's the ratio of the SILJ, which is the junior silver miner ETF, versus GDXJ, the junior gold mining ETF. And back in March of 2020, that ratio had reached an all-time low. I mean, silver miners were just dirt cheap relative to everything else in the precious metals complex. And since then, we've seen junior silver miners outperform the junior gold miners by a factor of almost two. And looking at this chart, they are still undervalued, referring to junior silver miners. However, obviously, just not to the extent that they were a few months ago. So we do think junior silver miners will continue to outperform, but it's that ratio isn't so far out of whack like it was just a couple months ago.
Okay. Then when it comes down into, let's say, precious metal stocks broadly, I made the comment to you before we started recording here that even with this bounce in gold, I'm looking at a wide range of juniors. And I think the more established, higher quality juniors are doing better. But there is still this downward bias in a lot of these lower quality stocks, which I think shows still the lack of broad interest in the sector, even on a day like today when gold is bouncing. What are some of the opportunities that you're seeing in the precious metal space when it comes to stocks?
Yeah, it's kind of strange right now. So like our letter, we focus primarily on junior and mid-tier silver miners. Of course, we own some gold miners and other things, but where I see the most compelling opportunity right here, right now, surprisingly, is in the blue chip royalty stocks. Stocks like Franco-Nevada, Wheaton Precious Metals, Sandstorm Gold. I mean, these stocks are fundamentally sound. They're profitable, yet they're beaten down to a pulp. And most of them are trading, you know, down below declining moving averages. And I'm looking at a chart here for Franco-Nevada. It's a monthly chart going back 10 years. And this stock's been down for seven straight months. And that's the first time in all of this stock's history that it's done that. And it's just, you know, it's the most oversold it's been since March of 2020. So it's kind of odd to see these blue chip royalty companies trading at such a discount relative to their peers.
Doesn't that just show you the lack of interest, especially from big money in the sector?
It does. Yes, exactly. It's the blue chips and the large cap stocks that I look to see, you know, to gauge institutional sentiment towards the sector. And yeah, they want nothing to do with this sector right now, which my contrarian nature likes that. I view this as an opportunity.
So when you're buying, are you trying to pick a bottom in these stocks, or are you slowly scaling in? Is there trending lower? What is your strategy?
Yeah, everyone wants to know where the bottom is, and you know, trying to nail bottoms is a fool's errand. So we scale in. We tell our members to scale in over time, and we provide price targets for pullbacks that would be attractive entry points. And you know, like Franco-Nevada, for example, we see it. This is a very compelling entry point, but you know, by no means am I trying to say, hey, this is the bottom. I think it's very likely it is, but I'm not, you know, sticking my neck out there saying this is the bottom, go all in right now. Certainly not.
Oh, fair enough. It's a tough game to pick the bottom, right? You
exactly.
Don't want to do that. What are some of your trading strategies then? Give us a broad little overview of what you try to convey to your subscribers in terms of risk management as you're building out these type of precious metals portfolios.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. So I've kind of got a unique approach. I'm a short-term trader, but I'm also a long-term buy-and-hold investor. And I like to say it's very difficult to outperform a simple buy-and-hold strategy in a bull market. So I put roughly 95% of my own personal portfolio into a simple buy-and-hold strategy, and I've got a predetermined personalized exit strategy that's based on ratios for my long-term plan. Now, I do trade short term, but you know, that's not something I would advise everyone to do because that's a skill that takes some time to learn. But I trade roughly 5%, and the goal is monthly cash flow. And you know, I like to identify asymmetric setups where your risk is minimal relative to your potential upside.
Now, getting in front of your subscribers, I've watched a number of your videos and a number of your sessions. Can you give us a little bit more information on what subscribers can expect when they do sign up for your service?
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal, first of all, is to provide a ton of value just for free. So we've got a free letter that goes out every Sunday, and we don't spam you. We don't try and hit anyone with high-pressure sales pitches. The goal is just to provide a ton of value for free, and people can find that at silverchartist.com. Now, there is a premium membership. We keep it super affordable, and that's where you get a little bit of a more over-the-shoulder look. I call it a fully transparent over-the-shoulder service with real-time alerts, and I show our members exactly what I'm doing in real time, and I explain to them very clearly why I'm doing it. And that's our premium service, which is very affordable.
All right. Well, Steve, I'm going to post a link to the Silver Chartist website, and I do recommend everybody signing up for at least that free report, because Steve does share a lot of information in that free report. But then again, if you sign up for his subscription service, I'm a subscriber, and there's a lot of information and some actionable trading strategies that you can take in this sector. Steve, I really appreciate you taking some time on this show. I will be posting a link to your website, and I'm going to be having you back on about every 2 weeks, and we're going to look at some other stocks and some other resource sectors that you cover. If any of you are already subscribers of Steve or want some more information on his newsletter or want us to talk about any sectors, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I can either put you in touch with Steve, or I can keep all your questions handy and bring those up in future interviews. So, hey, Steve, great having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time today.
Corey, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.